Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Start with text 15 with no purport, then we'll read 16 with purport. Devan Rishinri Bhutani. Pitrin Atmanam Anvaham. Svavrityagata Vrittena. Yajeta Purusham Pratak. Devan Rishin Nribhutani. Pitrin Atmanam Anvaham. Svavrityagata Vittena. Yajeta Purusham Pratak. Devan. Unto the demigods. Rishin, unto the great sages. Nri, unto human society. Bhutani, unto the living entities in general. Pitrin, unto the forefathers. Atmanam, one's self, or the supreme self. Anvaham, daily. Svavritya, by one's means of livelihood. Agata vittena, money that automatically comes. Yajeta, one should worship. Purusham, the person situated in everyone's heart. Pritak, separately. Translation. Every day one should worship the Supreme Being who is situated in everyone's heart, and on this basis one should separately worship the demigods, the saintly persons, ordinary human beings, and living entities, one's forefathers, and oneself. In this way, one is able to worship the Supreme Being in the core of everyone's heart. No purport. So next text, 16. When one is enriched with wealth and knowledge, which are under his full control, and by means of which he can perform yajna or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must perform sacrifices, offering oblations to the fire according to the directions of the Shastras. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And purport. If a grihastha or householder is sufficiently educated in Vedic knowledge and has become sufficiently rich to offer worship to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must perform yajnas as directed by the authorized scriptures. Bhagavad Gita 3.9 clearly states, Yagnar tat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Everyone must be engaged in his occupational duties, but the result of these duties should be offered for sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to possess transcendental knowledge as well as the money with which to perform sacrifices, one must do it according to the directions given in the Shastras. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.52, Krite yad dhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makai dvapare paricharyayam kalo tad hari kirtanat. The entire Vedic civilization aims at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in Satya Yuga by meditation, a upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart. And in Treta Yuga, by the performance of costly yajñas. The same goal could be achieved in Dwapara Yuga by worship of the Lord in the temple. And in this age of Kali, one can achieve the same goal by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Therefore, one who has education and wealth must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by helping the Sankirtan movement that has already begun, dash, the Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement. He says it again. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of so-called scientists, philosophers, and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya. And the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya's service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy man and the educated man should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating them for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and joining this Sankirtan movement. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Like a Supreme Court brief or something. Thus concludes the attorney on behalf of Vaishnavism before the Supreme Lord and the great Vaishnavas. What a wonderful stitching together all of these nice things. So the title of the chapter is Ideal Family Life. And in one sense, it's a little curious. And when reading this, I was pondering, why is Srimad Bhagavatam giving these indirect methods? Well, Srimad Bhagavatam is encyclopedic. Going back to the second canto, this is the seventh canto, there's verses that say, those who want this, worship this deva. Those who want that, worship that deva. Those who want something else, worship another deva. But those that are intelligent simply worship the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead. So there are persons that are not inclined to directly worship the Personality of Godhead, simply doing that. Like Prabhupada would give the example, very simple. If someone says, touch your nose, there's this method, and then there's this method. And some people like this method. So those people that like to wrap your arm around the back of your head and touch your nose, it's still the same assignment, touch your nose. And what's that assignment? What's the purpose behind the Vedas? As discussed in Bhagavad Gita, the purpose behind the Vedas, Krishna declares, is to know Krishna. And he said, I certainly know the answer to that question because I'm the compiler of the Vedas in his expansion as Vyasadeva. And I know the Vedas as they are. I know Vedanta. So what's the purpose? To know Krishna. Vedaish desire aham eva vedyo. And the way to know Krishna is to serve Krishna. So the indirect method comes to the position of serving Krishna. Even when doing the indirect method, that's what we're hearing, one should bear in mind the purpose is to please Krishna. Something like that section in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna establishes everyone should engage in sacrifice. And then he gives a long list of several verses saying some like to sacrifice this way and some like to sacrifice that way. But by all means, engage in sacrifice. And what does sacrifice mean? Sacrifice means there's, in the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the enjoyer of that sacrifice. It's meant for him. He's the bhokta of the yajna. In this purport, Prabhupada refers to 3.9, Bhagavad Gita. And the part that he includes is sacrifice unto Vishnu must be performed because otherwise work will bind one to the law of karma. And then the second part that he didn't quote is when you engage in work while offering the fruits of work and sacrifice, there's no bondage. Here's the translation. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. So, the Sanskrit for his is this really nice Vedic word, tat. And tat's a pronoun. Tat means that. So without saying what that is, the Upanishads are filled with this reference to tat. You know, like tat famasi. I am tat. I am that. So, you know, the impersonalists really like that one. It's their Mahavakya. It's one of their, there's several of them, but it's like top of the list of Mahavakyas. Aham Brahmasmi is another one. And there's something like seven of them that Shankaracharya cited. These are our principal statements. And I mentioned yesterday, Tattvamasi is 9 times in a row. Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, etc. Okay, Tattvamasi. That means I am Tat. Because that's an impersonal rendering of the word tat. So in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, where tat, it's tad artam karma kaunteya. The sacrifice should be unto tat. Well, who's tat? And it's aham. It's Krishna. Or yagnar tat karmanon yatra. What does that mean? Sacrifice must be done for yagya. Yagya is the name of Vishnu. Yagya vai Vishnu. Yagya is meant for satisfaction of Vishnu. Yagya and Vishnu are the same. Yagya is meant for satisfaction of Vishnu. Something anecdotal, just to embellish this message. Some many years ago, there was a devotee that I knew because he attended college in New York, but his home was in Connecticut, and after he finished college, he went to Connecticut, got a job. And from the training that he got in Krishna consciousness, Subal, maybe you remember Todd? Okay. So Todd made it, you know, an outreach effort to go and visit different colleges and present Krishna consciousness, and they said yes, and he was presenting Krishna consciousness 101. Really introductory. It was a graduate student course. He told me this story. And he put on the board the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you know, with chalk, and put it on the board. And didn't put the diacritics under the R and the S and the N. And then he discussed, you know, bhakti, Bhagavad Gita, and the essence of Bhagavad Gita's bhakti, etc. And questions and answers, and people were appreciative except for one person in the audience. And I guess he was respectful enough to not disrupt the class, because after the class, as soon as the class was over, he went right to the chalkboard and put the diacritics under the R, the S, and the N. And Todd said, oh, you know Sanskrit? He said, yes, I studied under Professor Dimmick, Chicago, University of Chicago. And Professor Dimmick, you may know from this, from history. No, excuse me. Yeah, Professor Dimmick. as a hardcore Mayavadi professor of Sanskrit in University of Chicago. So he said after, you know, I'm sorry, I was in a hurry, I just didn't put the diacritics in. He said, you know, you misled the audience. He said, could you explain? He said, you know, Todd is it's a gentleman. In what way? He said, you were saying yajna means unto Krishna. And so Todd said, well, when you perform a sacrifice, it's unto someone, and that someone is yajna, and that's Krishna, name of Vishnu. He said, no. He said, well, then what is yajna unto? He said, no unto anything. Yajna. For the sake of yajna. And tat. You know, the acts, it's from the Bhagavad Gita, acts of transcendence are situated within sacrifice. So, for such persons, when they read 3.9 Bhagavad Gita, tad artam karma konteya, it's sacrifice unto impersonal Brahman. No, unto anything. And, you know, Todd tried to reason with the fellow, but he had studied very carefully under Professor Dimmock, and he was fixed. No, unto anything. And then there's another group of people that think they haven't had Vaishnava association, so they read 3.9, and it's sacrifice unto the devas. This little section is karma kanda, you know, sacrifice unto the devas, and that's, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he makes their faith strong because they want stuff. And then it teaches, you know, you offer stuff through proper sacrifice under the codes of the Shastra for the purpose of getting stuff. This section of Bhagavad Gita, early part of chapter 3, in one sense can be taken, Bhurijan in his commentary or Surrender Unto Me describes specifically. One way of looking at this section is karmakanda. So why is karmakanda in Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is about worship of Krishna. Because it is about worship of Krishna. It's just a misunderstanding, Krishna says later, that what the purpose is avidhi purvakam. It's just, so for them, Tad is, you know, God in the form of the devas, pantheism, or polytheism. That's how they read it. And then there's Vaishnavas that comment on 3.9 Bhagavad Gita, and they're very clear it's Vishnu. And confirmed in a number of other sightings of Bhagavad Gita, including Bhoktaram Yagatapasam, 529 Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the Bhokta of that yajna. And the mantras say it. He's the very first mantra that's invoked in Vedic yajnas. So I'm just going to read the first paragraph of the purport of 3.9. Here's Prabhupada's explanation. Since one has to work even for simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for a particular social position and quality, so that's varna and ashram, are so made that the purpose can be fulfilled. And what's the purpose? Maintenance of the body. So some people understand for the upkeep and the necessities of life, there's sacrifices that you do because it provides the upkeep and necessities of life. That's why. That's like, you know, the motivation. Do it nicely and prosper. And then you have wealth. And because you've done something Vedic, you also, this principle of detachment allows knowledge to become more accessed. So knowledge and wealth, exactly as what's in the purport, in the Bhagavatam. Yajna means Lord Vishnu or sacrificial performances. No, the Mayavadi says no. Just sacrificial performances. The transcendence is situated within the act of sacrifice. And the Vaishnava says, Vishnu is situated within the act of sacrifice. So depending upon your target, that's what you're going to get. Yaitam mam prapadyante. Tams tadaiva bhajamyam. And the faith and the conviction and the intellect, the discerning capacity goes towards that which you want. And in this material world, what do we want? We want to enjoy. Or we want to be the supreme, more explicitly. So that impersonalism is there for those that want to be the supreme, explicitly. So they read it the way that they read it. All sacrificial performances are also meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The Vedas enjoin Yajnavai Vishnuhu. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yajnas or directly serves Lord Vishnu. So that's important. Same purpose. So some like it, back to chapter 4. Some do the sacrifice this way, some like that way, some like the other way. What's the purpose? Satisfy Vishnu. That's why it's in the Bhagavatam, because the essence of the Bhagavatam is service to the Supreme Lord. You can touch your nose by wrapping your arm around the back of your head. It is possible. It's unnecessary. You just do this. So directly or indirectly. The purpose is the same. Krishna consciousness is therefore performance of yajna as it is prescribed in this verse, the Varnashram institution, last sentence, the Varnashram institution aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parakpaman Vishnur Arajate. Arajate means worship. Radha Arajate. Vishnur Arajate. Vishnu is to be worshipped by Varnashram. And the quote is from Vishnu Purana. So even, this is, back to the Bhagavatam, this is ideal family life. And, the other ashrams are also described in this section of the Bhagavatam. So there, that's, categories of Varnashram. What's the purpose of Varnashram? What's the purpose of ideal household life? Satisfy Vishnu. So one may do it this way. And then the last part of the purport is, according to 12th Canto Bhagavatam, in different ages, different types of preference for perfection or the ideal means for achieving perfection in each of the four ages. And so in the second age, Dwarpa Yuga, this process of fire, yajna, or a sacrifice. So here it is in the Bhagavatam. It's a valid form of sacrifice. For us, we don't do that system, although our Vaishnava method is there are tantras or procedures for sacrifice. And some devotees are really expert at it. It's not non-Vedic. It's Vedic. It's not non-Vaishnava. It can be done in a Vaishnava manner. According to the Vaishnava tantras, one can do those things. And the purpose is the same. Satisfy Vishnu. Many people know the procedures, but they don't know the satisfaction of Vishnu part. So if, for those devotees, I've understood this, I haven't taken part, but I've understood from those that have enrolled in the Mayapur Academy, some of you know what that is. There's a 4-month course taught in Mayapur. They have the building is called the Mayapur Academy. And those who are pujaris who wish to enroll in that, it's a 4-month course. And the first month is qualities of a brahmana, a whole month. Then another is how to do deity worship, dressing of the deity. Then a whole other month is how to do samskaras. Whole month. At, you know, as a Vaishnava, because it's there in Hari Bhakti Vilas and it's part of our system. And then another is cooking, because that's also for worship of the deity. So we should not be mistaken in thinking those that do yajnas, they're kind of like, they missed the boat or something. Those yajnas are meant to be performed simultaneous with kirtan, so names of Vishnu are embedded within the mantras. That's what the mantras are, names of Vishnu. There are other names that are also mentioned, but the naming of those other mantras, like it's mentioned here, is for the satisfaction of Vishnu. I'll just end with this. The verse that we chant doesn't have a purport. It names so many others besides. It starts with fixing the mind upon the personality of Godhead and worshiping Him. But when worshiping Him, we don't ignore others. We put water on the root of the tree, so that's nice, but we also respect others. We don't worship them as we worship Krishna, but we respect others. If I had an extra hour, I would narrate some sections from the Bhagavatam where it says, you know, the stories of the Bhagavatam are wonderful, but the conclusion is those very, very exalted devotees who have the opportunity to request whatever they want from Krishna. He comes before them and said, you may ask whatever you want. Sudama, the florist, is one of them. Whatever you want, you please me very much. What do you want? You name it, it's yours. He wants three things. One of them is this one. He wants eternally be engaged in service to you, Krishna. Please keep me at your lotus feet, always in your service. Two, please give me the association of the devotees of the Lord so I can hear your glories being sung and heard. What's left? This one. All living entities, let me have a friendly relation with all living entities. And without the other references. It's part of our Vedic culture. We worship Krishna, we associate with devotees, we have... So what's a way, in many ways, of exhibiting a friendly relation to all living entities? And that's, we go out and chant Hare Krishna and distribute Krishna consciousness and prasadam and engage people in remembering Krishna and tasting Krishna and hearing about Krishna. And we may do other things also. We may go and do so many other things also, but the essence must be there, that is, give people the opportunity to hear about Krishna. So many other things. You know, there's, you know, the conservatives and the liberals say, well, we draw the line over here. Well, no, we draw the line over there. But the principle must be there. You give Krishna at the, you know, in the course of the activity, if it's the liberal side. And some, no, you can't go liberal, you have to be conservative, it's only Krishna. But whatever, you know, liberal, conservative, or moderate, the essence must be there. Just like in this verse of the Bhagavatam. And this section. So ideal, some have faith in these other things. And that's okay. We don't disturb their faith, we just want that the essence of satisfying the Supreme Lord must be there. And persons that are qualified, Brahmanas, to do that, not just they know mantras, but they have Krishna consciousness. And then progressively, we wish to bring them just to the congregational chanting of the holy name and worship these five essential activities that are mentioned by Rupa Goswami. And that's our Krishna consciousness. Actually, I want to add one more thing. Householders, part of the duty, an essential duty of a householder is to earn wealth, because you have to have wealth to maintain the household. And so one of the duties of householders is charity. Core is charity. And part of this charity mentioned in the purport is assist the Sankirtan movement. Give that wealth. It's repeated in different ways in many places by Prabhupada, but that's a householder duty. It can be, you know, the form of it can be so many. Sponsor Bhagavad Gita as a Gita Jayanti. You know, sponsor a dress for Kishore Kishori for one of the holidays. Assist the temple and maintaining the temple devotees who engage in these essential activities and so forth and so on. The form of it, some may like this, some may like that. But it's a duty of a householder. So when one has the conclusion, one who has wealth and one who has intelligence, fantastic. Use it in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the tip of the spear, using Abhiram's phrase, is the Harinam Yajna. And then surrounding the tip of the spear, there's the shaft of the spear, and there's so many other ways of assisting, bringing this message into the lives of a turbulent society, because wealth and intelligence is being used in service of Maya. It creates chaos. And that's the world in which we live. It's Kali Yuga chaos, and it gets wilder and wilder. Scarier and scarier. Just want to, you know, head for the hills or something. But boldly, the devotees continue going forward. And when it's done with real conviction and real purity and good, the right kind of intention, then it's an antidote for that chaos. That is to say, persons, can change from the chaos position, that using the wealth and intelligence for service to Maya position, to service to Krishna position. Just this morning, I received a little message. It was a nice message from somebody in India who received a Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita changed their life. Like we saw in that, you know, ISKCON 50 video, that young woman that's liked book distribution because it changed her life, so she's dedicated her life. So there's this little story of one man. He has a career, and he goes to work by train. So he's taken a vow or a commitment that every day for the last 2 years, in his commute to go to work, he would distribute one Bhagavad Gita during that train ride to work. And, you know, at the end of 2 years, he's being interviewed as saying, there's many people that ride the train that received a Bhagavad Gita in the course of those 2 years, and now they're practicing Bhagavad Gita, they've become devotees, and they're thanking him profusely. And his message to them is, why don't you take a Bhagavad Gita, take the same vow, and distribute the Bhagavad Gita? Of course, I'm sure there's so many other things that happen, you know, some association, going to a temple, and whatever, whatever. But the effort, the householder's compassion and charity is give. And everyone can do that. Householder, brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasi, kangaroo, anyone can do. Give Krishna consciousness to others. Even a little effort, it can make a big difference in the chaos of this world. That's our... When we look at the chaos, as Vyasadeva looked at the chaos, what did he do? He wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. And so we propagate Bhagavatam's message. Read it and propagate it. That's our faith. It's our life. Any discussion? Mukunda?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was trying to think how to word this question, so I'll just try to use an example, maybe get the point across. I'm going to vote in this election.
You are.
Because
Too scary what that other alternative is.
Yeah. I'm pretty much trying to do whatever to avoid
anything but that guy.
Yeah. I'm kind of invested in the, I feel like I'm doing it for a social reason, like I'm trying to save America one vote at a time.
Man.
Yeah. but then at the same time, it's obviously kind of detracting. It's socially helpful in a sense, but at the same time, it can clearly be detracting from, a focus on Krishna consciousness. Because I personally don't see how that can really be connected other than creating an easier facility for living in America. But anyway, what I'm really trying to say, I guess, is just
Krishna conscious to go vote for somebody that's not that guy? Is that your question?
Yeah, or how can positive social action be Krishna conscious?
Well, it depends on the circumstance. Social activism can be Krishna conscious. And it can easily not be Krishna conscious. It's easy to get swept up in a cause and forget Krishna. It's easy to get swept up in all kinds of things and forget Krishna, including social activism. It requires a strength of Krishna consciousness to go down that path and be Krishna conscious. So, I would recommend read very carefully the sections about Prithu Maharaj and Maharaj Prikshit and the qualifications of a king. As social activism isn't a king, but it's part of, standing by principle and stand by principle and for the satisfaction of Krishna, stand by principle. I'll give a practical example. When I was the GBC chairman, there was that terrific, horrific problem in, what was it? I can't even remember which part of the Caribbean. Haiti. Like this calamity in Haiti. So, I'm the GBC chairman. I'm getting all these messages from people all over the world saying, is there some way that I can help? Social activism. Nobody ever trained me up in this one, What do you do with a calamity in Haiti? So, in short, I did some research to find out who are people that were qualified in this area. And then who was somebody in the vicinity that could help be a coordinator for carrying the materials that they wanted to do some help. And so, just GBC chairman put it together. And then by coincidence, I was traveling somewhere and happened to meet a whole group of people. I think it was in Heathrow Airport in London. And they were all on their way to Haiti. Because they were that contact person. So they were describing to me what their plan was. And their plan was very Krishna conscious. Not just, they had the social activism things. They had the medicines, they had the clothing. They were going to teach people how to build their houses with just the materials that were available. And books in French. And kirtan and japa beads. And so when they did the help, they would also give Krishna. They didn't want to just go and help them build houses again, etc. Very Krishna conscious group of people. I was really impressed. For example, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. For example, There's something that Prabhupada didn't want, and then there's something that Prabhupada did want. We give people Krishna consciousness. The Madhavananda, the director of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, was invited by the GBC to share, because there was some criticism over there somewhere, someone saying, humbug. Prabhupada said, don't do those things. What Krishna consciousness they're giving to people? I mean, how many people are now chanting Hare Krishna? How many initiated devotees? How many? The lives have been changed because of, you know, the Krishna conscious element, along with providing medical care, which could be criticized if that's all you do. So the core conviction while doing the social activism, and it doesn't get washed away by the circumstance and the complexity of involvement in social activism. It's not easy. It's easy to get washed away, carried away by the cause. And then that becomes your religion instead of Krishna Bhakti. Real easy. Okay. Something, yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. My question is related to the point you made that with worship of Krishna, there's also respect of everyone. And so we learned from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that before we could do Sankirtan Yajna, we have to do false ego Yajna by offering all respect to others, and especially not expecting respect from oneself. And this reminded me of Hiranyakashipu. He prayed to Lord Brahma, please let
your questions are always purports to the class. It's really interesting. And I can understand about 30% of what you say. Well, so I'm going to need a translator. Jai Jagannath, you'd be ready to translate.
Well, this one is usually shorter than normal. So Hiranyakashipu basically prayed to Lord Brahma, please let everything go my way. And when it didn't, he couldn't take it. And by contrast, Queen Kunti said, please let nothing go my way.
Nothing what?
Please let nothing go my way. Please let all these miseries come onto me. Don't let it allow me. So we could see that what are some steps we could do, because we could see that when, it's not necessarily a good thing that things are always going our way, because then we'll realize that we're not the controller. And that's actually a good thing, because we could take shelter of the actual controller, Krishna. So, but before we come to this platform of praying like Queen Kunti, what are some other steps we could do to get rid of our false ego, because it ultimately leads to our self-destruction? So what are some other steps if we can't come to the standard of praying like Queen Kunti, saying, please let nothing go my way?
I heard some comments. I didn't hear a question. Is there a question in all this? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't catch that at all. Thank you. Well, you know, one thing is you tolerate. Tungs to tiksha swabharata. And recognizing things don't go your way because, as you said, that's part I heard, you are not the controller. And we're in the world of duality. And sometimes, things aren't going our way. Things seem to be going our way. So you tolerate. So when you're not up there, you tolerate. And when not just tolerate, like, you know, bite the bullet, as they say, but rather withdraw consciousness from things aren't going my way to a higher purpose of life, you know, sat, transcendence. And that's easier said than done, but it's what someone can do when one is in that lower position. You direct the mind with spiritual intelligence towards sat, towards Krishna, towards the mission of my life is Krishna. Or another same way of saying the same thing is 10.14.8. Somebody in our assembly here is having some difficulty. So what do you do when some difficulty comes? You accept the difficulty is coming. It's, you know, Krishna has sanctioned this, here it comes. I'm not going to just get in this lost into the difficulty mode and forget Krishna. I'm not going to do that. I'll take whatever practical measures I need to take, accepting that this is coming because of something back there. And one thing, for sure, my conviction, my commitment, and that Queen Kunti saying, you know, more of the same, please. But my position is, I will not let my mind budge one inch from the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. That's my conviction, my commitment, my deep inner being. And I may be pushed this way or pushed that way. Like, for me, a visual image is like a ship at sea. And some wind comes and blows the ship this way and blows the ship that way, and there's waves and whoo. But you just head for that lighthouse in the distance because you know there's land, and when we get to land, then it's safe. Just stay fixed on staying at the lotus feet of Krishna. And in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, which is Padma, the lotus feet of Krishna in his literary form, he gives protection. In this first canto, a major theme is Krishna's protection. So the difficulty's coming. I'm not Queen Kunti, and I know one thing. Krishna will give us protection. This is out of control. There's nothing I can do about the circumstances. It's difficult. I'll make practical steps, but I want Krishna's protection. I want Krishna's shelter. Not Krishna protect me by taking the thing away, but Krishna keep me at your lotus feet. And in time, you know, the storm will pass and the winds will become normal and the waves will become okay. But meanwhile, I'm not going to budge an inch from the lotus feet of Krishna. That's my conviction, my commitment, my core. Mission. And it will help me, the turbulence will help me on the other side of the turbulence to be in that place. Because commonly when the turbulence is gone, we relax. Our submission diminishes. So the turbulence has that great advantage. Like Haridas Thakur said to the man in jail, in Puglia, may you always remain in this condition. What? Well, you're fully dependent upon Krishna. The circumstance may help one become fully dependent upon Krishna. We don't like the disturbance, but we like being fully dependent upon Krishna. And the disturbance can help us. It can take us our attention away from Krishna, too, if we get caught up in just the circumstance without shelter. Jitendriya. He's got his Bhagavatam open. Look at that. Oh, Bhagavad Gita. Okay.
Garuda Das went to the University of Chicago for Sanskrit studies. I don't know if Edward Dimmock was there, but he wrote an appreciation here in the Gita. But if he's from the Mayavadi school, why would he appreciate Prabhupada's Gita?
Well, there's a long story, and I'll make it a short story. Short story. He was drunk.
That's what I remember. That's what Garuda said. That's why he signed it.
Yes.
The devotees wrote this.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The devotees wrote
it. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know the detail, but something like that. And to this day, there's animosity towards Prabhupada at the University of Chicago Sanskrit department.
Is Edward still alive?
I don't know.
Oh.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
But, you know, his followers are still around, and his followers are resentful. And they still carry the, you know, antagonism towards those that tricked Professor Dimmock when he was drunk.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki.